What up, this is your boy DJ EFN. You might know me as a drink champ, but first and foremost, I'm a proud father. I linked up with two of my other dad homies, Manny Digital and KGB, to start the Fatherhoods podcast. Each week, we bring you insider hip-hop stories, parenting, and advice and therapy. The saying is true, it takes a village, and we humorously serve as each other's trusted counsel in figuring out how not to screw up being a good dad.
The Fatherhoods Podcast. Beats, rhymes, and diapers.
Yo, Fatherhoods fam, when you're out and about with your baby and they start wilding out, what do you do? Most dudes are fumbling through the traditional baby bag their lady prepped for them, trying to find that one thing that will calm the kid down. That doesn't have to be your life. Dig no more. The firstborn diaper backpack from Fly Dad has over 21 compartments to have everything right where you need it to be for you and your baby, and keeping you fly through the process. Get $20 off when you visit flydadgear.com/fatherhoods. All right, we're back for another one, and you got all three of the fatherhoods today. Make some noise for that.
We did it.
Got your horn?
Nah, that's horn, working, man. Let's see if the horn works. Hold on. Let's see.
No, that shit's a dud.
Suspect. Yo, but we got a guest today, all the way live from the island of Puerto Rico. He is a two-division bare-knuckle fighter champion. And he's going for his third championship, third belt in the heavyweight championship division for the bare-knuckle fighting championship at Knuckle Mania on April 27th. Please give it up for Lorenzo Juggernaut Hunt. Welcome, sir.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, man. Thanks for having me.
Yo, and not only, so you're a two-division champ now, you're going for your third division, but you a six-time dad, right?
Yeah, I got six kids. Between me and my wife, we have a total of 10. It's a wild ride, but we enjoy it, and we're good at it.
that's the real boot camp.
Yo, I don't think I've ever heard somebody say, "Yo, we good at it."
Yeah, we good at it. Yeah, we're a good team.
Yeah. So you, the only other person I think I'm aware of, I mean, there's some like basketball players that come to mind. DMX comes to mind, but Nick Cannon comes to mind with so many children. What was the, like, how did you end up with now a total of 10? Like, was that relatively a conscious decision, or just life led you in that direction?
Nah, I wouldn't say it was a conscious decision. More so, you know, just being young and attractive, and then just bumbling through life, trying to make love work and trying to find your way. It doesn't always work out picture perfect, fairy tale-ish, you know. But as we get older and we find our redeemable qualities, we can make it work. And the children don't care about it being perfect, picture perfect. They just want it. Yeah. They just want you. You know what I mean? They don't care about it being perfect. So, you know, like I said, yeah, I started pretty young. I have two 19-year-old daughters, 20 now, 20-year-old daughters that are in college. I have a 12-year-old son. I have an 8-year-old daughter, and a 3-year-old daughter, and a 2-year-old son. And then I have, we got the crew. I also have a 16-year-old daughter, an 8-year-old daughter, and we got it rolling. And my son, Captain, is 7. So, It's a wild ride, but like I said, we're good at it. My wife's super good at it. She loves being a mom. My kids are hyper intelligent and athletic. They're all athletes. They're all, you know, they just got the best of both worlds. And then to see their dad constantly disciplined every day, pushing, and trying to do better and do great, they jump right in line. My 16-year-old daughter just made regionals for track and field. My 20-year-old daughter got full scholarship for volleyball. We're all over the place.
Wow. How many of the kids are in the house with you and your wife at this point, since some are older?
Yeah, it's five of us not right now. Five kids. Yeah. Five kids, and then me and her. Yeah, we make it. We do our thing.
Damn. You there's a pride that comes out of you when you talking when you were just talking about your kids. It makes me feel like you have a tight relationship with them. Is that a fact?
Yeah. I'm their hero. I'm everything to them like my dad was to me. I learned everything about being a father from my dad. And my dad was like a robot, like a cybernetic organism with human flesh on top of a metal skeleton. He never got sick. He never complained. He never cried. He never nothing. He went to work every day, came home, kicked our ass if we didn't clean up, and he went back to work. And I watched him do that for years and years and years and years and years without ever complaining. And so I do the same thing.
How hard is that?
It's not hard. Ain't nothing else to do.
Gotta make it happen.
You know what I mean? Run around the streets, play with girls, go to the clubs, be stupid, get drunk, get high. Like, nah, ain't nothing else to do but be good to your kids.
You sound like you work like a dog, and I don't mean that in a bad way, right? Like you mentioned, you're very disciplined. At the height of your bare knuckle fighting career, and I know you used to do MMA. I think you're not doing that anymore, but it seems like you're very focused. When I've seen a couple of your fights, there's a switch flips, right? And you become like this alter ego type of person. But you could tell it's grounded in a lot of really hardcore discipline. You mentioned your father. It sounds like you derived a lot of that from him. How do you maintain that, though?
Like I said, I've never seen any other example but consistency of character. Anytime I see someone who doesn't have consistency of character, I shy away from them. I can't trust them. I don't like it. I like to be the same person every day. That's dependable, you know? And I teach that to my kids. They know what to expect when they walk into a room. It's not some different guy every day. You know what I mean? It's me, always the same. You know, they know what I'm going to say. They know how I'm going to react. And it's the same thing with my wife. And it was the same thing with my mom. My mom, she worked 18-hour shifts. She never complained. She bust her butt. You know what I mean? She was awesome. She went to college. She became an RN. She did her thing. My mother and father have been together 48 years. You know, it's just simple. Then when it comes to fighting, that's not a job to me. It's not work. I just swam across the damn ocean, but I wasn't working. It's beautiful here. That was fun. But I mean,
mindset. Yeah.
A damn crab crawled up my buddy's leg. We had to get it off of him. It was just fun, you know. I'm just having fun, and I take that jovial spirit into all things. When I go to the track with my daughter, I'm racing all the kids. It just so happened to make me better in shape and make me greater, a better fighter. But it's not work. I go to the gym every day and I teach self-defense and boxing basics, and I teach the core disciplines, and every day I show up at 5 a.m. in the morning and I teach class, and I leave at 5 at, I mean, I do class again at 5 at night, and I leave at 9 every night, and it's not work. I have fun all day. So yeah, it's just like, it's fun for me. It's not work for me.
Great attitude. I gotta say, man, that was a great attitude. Hey,
I'm not gonna lie though, I am exhausted thinking of your routine, because it seems like you put so much into what you do for your career, and then on top of that, the fatherly duties you have, and you know, you have a good amount of kids. You know, did you create that mental attitude? Because if you didn't have it, you would be exhausted just mentally alone, never mind physical.
Oh, sorry. Did I lose you guys?
No,
good. We're still here.
Yeah, but I heard your question. Honestly, like I said, it's all about consistency of character. And I've been through some things. I've been through some tragic things in my life that brought me to the point where I know better to complain. I know better than to complain about the trivial things that we go through in life when they're so, you could be in such a worse, such a more horrible, such a destitute and desperate position.
Right.
And I wake up with this amazing attitude. God bless me with another day that I'm not in chains and in bondage, or I'm not sick or in the hospital, or I'm not, you know, and I just roll with it. And anybody who's around me, they're gonna roll with it too. No room for negativity, none of that. So honestly, to answer your question, it's more like, what would you rather be? You know, people look at me and they say, oh, he's a hard worker. Nah, I'm just playing. I'm just having a good time. And most importantly, I also figured out, and you can take this with a grain of salt, that God only gives you what you need. The more energy you use, the more energy you need, the more energy God gives you. You're not using a bunch of energy. You don't need none, so he ain't going to give you none. So you're going to be tired all the time. But if you bust your ass all day, when you go to sleep, when you wake up, your tank will be full. That's how he feeds us. That's how it is done. The more you need, the more you'll get. But if you don't need it, then you're going to be tired all the time.
Lorenzo, that's deep on a lot of levels. Because
I get that.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, we touch on it here and there on the podcast, but like it ties to like manifestation and trying to achieve certain goals and aspire to reach certain goals, right? And it's in a similar way. It's like if you're not mentally prepared or putting yourself in a position to obtain these things, ain't nobody gonna fill your coffers with the things you need to get there, right? And so it's really admirable to hear. And like you got that down as a mantra almost in how you conduct yourself. How do you impart that same type of thinking to your children? Because you mentioned they think you're everything to them, right? And yeah, you instill discipline, but how?
Because honestly, like I watched my father do his thing. He never sat down and told me, this is how it's done, son. Children learn from observation. Point blank. You can preach and preach and preach till you blew in the face, but that's not what registers. What registers is your consistency of character, how you do it, how you wake up every single morning before the alarm clock, how you're always there on time, how you make the schedule work. And they see that and then they learn it's not impossible. That's it. That's my job. My job is just to wake up every day and do exactly what I'm supposed to do every day. And show them that it can be done. And then they do it. My kids are honor roll students. I couldn't even talk in that. I wasn't an honor roll student. But they watch how I put my all into everything. And then they just put their all into everything. And they say, here's my report card, Dad. Or I PR'd today, a personal record every day. They're so happy when they do something great. They want to show me. You know, I got trophies every day. Like, look at my trophy. Put my trophy up. So it's become a perfect storm of high achievers. You put high achiever in a room and other people are gonna just start high achieving too, you know. But if you settle for nothing and you give nothing, then they're gonna learn to be lazy. That's it. No, it's not to be taught. You show and tell.
How do they feel about you knuckling up for a living?
Man, they are. I wish I could show you this picture of my nephew facing off after they were arguing over gummy bears. They stood face to face, and it was the longest 30 seconds I ever seen. They embrace the warrior mind state, and they understand that daddy's a warrior without being violent, without being a shit starter, without being a bully.
Yeah.
They know what I use my power for. And then they, in turn, they want to be powerful too. My daughter, to put it simple, took my daughter to the Mike Richmond fight, and the guy poked me in the eye and beat me up pretty good. When he knocked me down, you know, she had never seen me knocked down before. And she turned to my mom and my wife, and she said, Daddy's mad. He's mad. And when I got up and knocked him out, he was like, told you. He wasn't worried in the least amount. He's like, oh, man, that is mad now. So my kids know what I am. They know what I put in. They know what I can do. They know there's no limits. And then and they just show me too. You know, I have one daughter that's in gymnastics. She loves to show off for me. It's just over and it just keeps coming back.
And in terms of the fighting and respect for fighting, because there's a difference between being someone who's, you know, knucklehead and starting shit and then being skilled and respecting the craft and, you know, respecting self-defense. Like, how do your kids roll in terms of do they know, like, hey, I'm not a shit starter, but I'm going to learn how to finish it? Is that the, you know?
To my daughter's school a little while back, Princess. I call her Princess, but if you've seen her, you'd understand, like, whoa. So a kid was poking her in the back with a pencil. She raised her hand and said, I think you should move me, because if he pokes me again, I'm going to put him down.
Wait, how old is she?
How old?
She's 8.
Oh,
8 years old. She said, if he pokes me again, I'm going to put him down. Simple as that. I'm going to put him down. So the principal calls me. Hey, you know, Princess is threatening students. She has poke mark in her back. I told her, you did it right. Next time he pokes you, put him down. That's what it is. It is what it is. Like, I don't mince words when it comes to protecting yourself as a child or as an adult or as anything. I'm a self-defense teacher. You know what I mean? I teach discipline. I teach that all offense should come naturally from defense. That's my mantra. That's how I survive. And if anybody's picking with you or pushing on you or pushing your buttons or trying to get a rise out of you, then, you know, make God protect them. But that's just the man that I am. And it boils over onto my children. They never started. They'll always finish it, though. And I'll be there to bellow.
Of course you will. How do you manage parenting and your career? Because your training camps, I understand, can be pretty lengthy and take you away, you know, from your family for long stretches. Like, how do you and your wife kind of make it all work?
Balance it.
Jason Village, of course, we have help from my mother and father who is awesome. My father is still doing his thing. He's still coaching me time to time. If you guys ever, you know, been on my live, you'll know that I have my kids running around the gym every night while we're teaching class. They're also working out and exercising. So all my children they're with me all the time while I do this. Now, when I go away to the fight camps, that's the serious time. And it's kind of rare. Maybe twice a year that I actually go away for a 3-week stretch or a 4-week stretch. In those times, my wife picks up the slack and takes a little time off work and covers the bases at home. But for the most part, we're just an awesome team and we just make it work.
So
that's important, that teamwork.
Yeah. They all miss me. You know, we FaceTime a lot. They know what I'm doing is important. They all got their outfits picked out and stuff. They're ready to fly to Los Angeles to see Daddy fight. And I got my own team. I got a tribe that, you know, they'll fight for me if the shit hit the fan.
Yeah.
how would you feel about some of your kids following in your footsteps and doing the same thing? You know, professional fighting. Does that worry you at all, or are you good with that?
Not at all. I'd be more worried about the other kids. My children ain't new to this. They true to this. I've taught them what I know. It's become a part of them. And my father taught me, and it's protected me. It's protected me my whole life. I've had a shield because you couldn't just do anything you wanted to me. And people will abuse you if you are defenseless. I am not defenseless, nor are my children. And I'm not a hypocrite either. I won't do something that I won't let them do. They could be anything you want to be. Anything. I will support you. And if my son or my daughter want to fight, hey, we going at it like Layla Ali and Muhammad. I'll be right there pushing them like my dad is with me. You know, I love the idea because it's generational wealth. my father was my teacher. He was a karate guy. He taught me, and that discipline gave me a skill set that gave me confidence and gave me an understanding of self. You know, it helped me see my strengths and not my weaknesses. The world want to magnify your weaknesses, but I learned at a young age that I could magnify my strengths. You know, and that helped me throughout my life. And so I do the same thing with my children. I magnify their strengths and minimize their weaknesses.
What do you tell them? Because I mean, bullying is under a microscope now more than ever, I feel like. And I feel like there's parents that feel helpless, right, when it comes to either their child bullying others, but likely more so their children being bullied. What do you recommend? Because I think there's a bunch of different things, right, that affect that. How would you handle something like that, or recommend a parent think about handling it to try to, figure it out?
My own personal outlook on that is, like you say, it starts at home. Most children that are bullies or bullying other children are being bullied at home. They're being overpowered at home. They're being taught violence from their parents. They're taught a different level of violence with every whooping. Every whooping makes more violence. And then you have to whoop them harder. And that makes more violence. I don't whoop my children. I discipline my children. I'm never angry at my children. I don't throw things at my children. I don't yell at my children. So they don't go into the world and throw things and yell and whoop. That's what's happening. You're looking at the children of impatient, undisciplined grown-ups. They're the bullies. And their children become bullies. My child will never be a bully because she knows her power. She knows I will put him down if he hurts me. That's important. That's very important. So at the end of the day, when they do call me to the office or they say what happened, or my daughter gives her story and he gives his, whatever, I know that I instilled the right things in them. You know, my offense is a form of extreme discipline that manifests itself as offense. You would never be hurt by me had you not reached your hand out to hurt me.
Wow. And that impatient side too, that comment is real, man. Like parents that are impatient, that are over, like, you know, overparenting in a sense. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the whooping, for sure I could see the whooping part, but I think what would resonate with most parents is the part where he's saying where they're impatient and they're screaming on their kids because they're a lot of times they're impatient and it's really they're not organized, they're not disciplined, the parents. That's right. And then it translates into the children developing, whether it be anxiety, you know, and then that manifests into bullying potentially, you know, them bullying.
That's exactly what it is. I'm all too familiar. You know, I work with inner city youth in Jacksonville, Florida. I have a gym called Juggernaut Life Fitness. I literally teach self-defense. I teach discipline. I know what scared looks like. I know how scared people react. I know that two scared people are more likely to fight than two disciplined people or two people who know how to fight. It's literally, once you know your power, you don't have to prove it.
Right.
You don't need the extra attention. You're not trying to convince anybody that you're not a punk once you know your power. And as all my children know their power. So at the end of the day, when they call me, I'm like, ah, I know. Okay. But I know that my baby didn't start. And that's what it comes to. Like, and you'll see it as soon as you pull up to the school, you'll have one loud mouth, crazy parent in a bonnet screaming at the teachers, acting exactly like her child was acting in school. It's simple. It's simple. It's generational wealth or generational curses.
I have to ask you, because I saw, man, he had a Cuban flag in his trunks. It was a recent fight that I saw of yours. And yo, y'all was going at it, boy.
My Cuban people was representing.
EFN, your man got knocked the fuck out.
Oh, damn.
But
that's a prime example of what we're talking about now. That was the pinnacle, one of the most important moments of my life where I had to display discipline and it worked out in my favor. Hector Lombard punched me in the face twice on national TV. And I did nothing because I knew right at that point, I got him.
Yeah.
And paid the fight and I beat him up. I became the world champ. Then I became the double world champ. Now I'm fighting for the triple world champ. I'm going to be in Hall of Fame, all because he had no discipline and I had it all.
And just for context, what he's referring to, what Lorenzo's referring to is free fight. Like in a random public setting, he snuck in and gave him a couple jabs in the face and did not jump at him. But fight night, boy, that was a whole different ball game.
Yeah, I was on him, and Hector was a big name in the sport, and he did do a lot of work to get where he got. But he was a bully the whole time, and he got used to those bully tactics working. And with me, like I said, I'm very very self restrained and discipline. So when he hit me, all the options flashed. If I blow through this ring like a gorilla, I have that option. I would literally be throwing my friends out of the ring in order to get to him. The boxing commission, David Feldman, the chief of staff, all the people who were in between us were good guys.
Yeah, they don't deserve that.
Just to retaliate. Or I take my licking, I tell them why I'm here, and then I let the public decide. Was that a coward thing to do as a champion, to take off and hit me while I'm challenging you for the next fight, to just sneak me and run? And they did. They said that was a coward thing to do. And then they made the fight, and now the rest is history. So, yeah, that was discipline on display right there.
You know what I find confusing sometimes, just personally, and I would imagine some other folks might feel this as well. I feel like in some cases, there's like a fine line between expressing discipline and questioning whether or not you're being a coward. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How do you, I think you've gotten to a point in your life where it sounds like you know the difference, but like in a moment like that, you could easily flip it on yourself and be like, damn, I punked out.
One of the things that I learned in prison, of all places, is don't be your own worst enemy. If you're locked in a room all by yourself, you're presumably safe, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody. Everybody's not safe when they're by themselves. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yeah,
people inside your head is the worst place you could be. I'm not that guy. So we'll flip it. Let's say I got a gun and you slapped me. Am I being a coward because I didn't shoot you? Or did I just decide I didn't want to kill today?
Right.
That's what it is with me. I know I'm not a coward just because I didn't decide to kill you today in front of all of these people. Don't mean I'm a coward. It actually means I'm a pretty great guy. You know what I mean? I'll let you play with it. So basically, once you know yourself and you know your strength and you know what you can do, you won't have those conversations no more. When something happens, it won't be whether or not you're scared, or it won't be whether or not if people think you're this or that. It won't matter what people think, because you'll know your power. I'm walking around. I'm a time bomb. I'm a walking riot. Only me can stop it.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm okay. I know I'm not a coward. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, do I want to blow everything up today? Like, no, I don't want to do that. So that's how it works when you're a man. When you know that your heart beating fast like that, it's life or death. For you and him, or, you know, for everything you work for, it doesn't make you a coward. it makes you a man.
No, yeah, that's a testament of true confidence, if anything.
Yeah, true confidence. True confidence. What's scarier? You slap a guy and he goes crazy and slap you back, or you slap a guy, he does nothing, and he looks at you like you're a child.
Yeah, that's what's scarier.
Yo, what just came to my mind is like, back in the day, like Hulk Hogan, they going at him, oh, somebody smacks him and he just freezes. And he just gives him that stare. That's what it took me to. That's true, though.
Yeah, it's real out here, man. We're finishing up fight camp right now. Yeah. The fight music going out here.
Okay. Yeah. Get it. Yo, I got one last question. Look at him dancing side like a...
pulling off.
Yo, you like I gotta say, like watching MMA, watching bare knuckle fighting, I just try to put myself in that situation, right? Like a street fight, you could get dropped so easily. And y'all got the strongest chins, I feel like, on the planet. That's just repetition. Like, how do you develop not getting knocked the fuck out from all these like big dudes?
So, for me personally, now you can ask a few different guys that they'll all tell you something different, but I'm gonna give you my understanding of what's happening, right? So this is how I teach my students. I say, you're glass, and I'm glass, and I'm not gonna lie about it, because we're not supposed to touch. No different than when you drop an apple or a peach. It's bruised. It's destroyed. It's messed up, yeah. Right? Same thing with the body. You can toughen it up all you want to, but it's not designed to take that type of damage. So for me, I move. I don't want to get hit. The thing is, sometimes I may get hit, but I was moving. So it's not as bad as it looks. I consciously don't ever want to be hit. That makes me good. That makes me able to laugh. I'm 41. I can't take a lot of punch. I'm light-skinned. I got a wife and I want to go on a date after. I'm not letting guys beat up on me. You understand? I'm in full self-defense mode. So every time a guy reaches for me, every time a guy tries to touch me, I visualize myself as glass. He's trying to break me, and I'm breakable. But he's risking his own self. He's glass too. So the more he tries to break me, the closer he comes, and then
gotcha.
Glass. We're both glass. But since I'm backing away and since I'm being careful, I have the better shot of breaking you. But I'm not one of those guys that will ever teach you to take a punch. There's no way to learn to take a punch. Can you see this tree right here? Look. I can punch the tree. It can take a punch. Mm-hmm. You are not a tree. You understand? You're not a tree. So when I hit you, that probably, yeah.
That's it.
So you should probably be careful. You know, try to be timid. If there's nothing wrong with being timid or cautious. It's a power in that. There's a strength in that. People forgot. You know, there's feminine energy and masculine energy. There's give and go. There's you know, push and pull. You have to be able to use both. I'm very good at using both.
Well, thank you for sharing a little bit about your journey so far in fatherhood. We wish you the best on the 27th.
Yeah, man.
I will be catching that for sure. Before we ride out of here, though, one piece of advice. If you could give one piece of advice to a dad out there, what would it be from your travels as a 10-time father?
Man, you know, throughout my journey as a father, I haven't always gotten it right. And there's been mixed emotions about my parenting. And, you know, the emotions of the mothers don't always line up with the feelings of the child. But you have to take yourself out of that. You have to take yourself out of the emotional realm of it and not make it about the mother. It's just about the child. It's just about your child. you guys are connected, and you have to figure out some way to feed that connection, just like the roots of the tree feed the fruit on the tree. You just have to feed that connection. You don't have to continue to feed her. You don't have to continue to cater to her, but you have to feed that child some way, somehow. It can be the simplest things. They'll always remember. They will always remember the efforts you made to be a part of their life. You have to show up, man. I remember my dad, I had a Boy Scout meeting and my mom was working. My dad was always busy and all the parents came. And I had one like an Eagle Scout thing and I didn't think nobody was going to show up. And my dad walked in there with a damn George Jefferson looking suit on and he was walking and he was so proud to see him in the suit. I could have just fell out. I must have been maybe 14. I could have just, wow. I never forgot that. It's the simplest things. You know, it don't take all the money in the world. It don't take none of the things you think that your child, that you would equate with success. It just takes you. Just show up. Mm. Go for a walk. Talk to them while school. Call. Do the text. An emoji. Anything. Mm. Don't let your shame keep you from your child. Don't let your status, your worldly status, or, you know, keep you from reaching out to your child. Reach out to them some way, somehow.
Love that.
That's great.
Yo, Lorenzo, man, keep doing your thing, man. It's great to meet you and understand you a little bit because, you know, you look at what you do on the screen and you assume a bunch of things. You think you a pit bull, you know, but
I got it. I trick them a little bit.
but you're a very thoughtful and, like, you know, grounded person, it feels like. And that's, we need more fathers like that in the world. So I'm glad we had this opportunity.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you for having me, man.
All right, brother. You take care, man.
And let's do this again, man.
Let's do this again. Maybe post-fight, we'll talk again.
Yeah. You'll see me at the Triple Crown. Tell everybody they can find me at the Juggernaut Hunt on Instagram. You can Google me, Lorenzo Hunt. You can go to my website, www.juggernauthunt.com. I have a National Alliance to End Veteran Suicide webpage where we do nice stuff for the veterans. We give them discounts and we hear their stories and we help them out. We have a suicide hotline. So, hey, man, just like I said, if you take anything from this interview, just remember, defense is the best offense.
Mm. All right, my brother. You take care. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Peace.
Yo, be a father. If not, why bother, son? A boy can make him, but a man can raise one. Be a father to your child. Be a father to your child.